welcome to For the Record, our bi-weekly show in which we take one recently released album and discuss it in depth. You can listen to us every other Thursday at 9:30 a.m. San Francisco time on the world's best internet radio station, BFF.fm, or subscribe to the podcast at ForTheRecordPodcast, all one word, .com. This week we're talking about the fourth album from the Beths. It's called Straight Line Was a Lie, and it starts out with the title track. Us to talk about any artist more than once, and I think this is the third time we've talked about the Beths out of four albums, but you know, they are really my favorite band that has started up in the past 10 years. They're just wonderful, and I love their catchiness and their wise lyrics and just the jangly punchiness of their songs. They're just so charming and so uplifting at the same time, and this album is a little bit different. And I like that they're branching out in new directions, but it seemed like a good opportunity to talk about them again.
Yeah, they are always experimenting. I feel like the only album we didn't talk about was their second record, which, you know, in the moment felt like such a just kind of downshift and downer relative to the first, but at least they were trying something different. And then the third record was, I think, kind of trying to combine the best of those first two records. And now they're moving in completely new directions. And interestingly enough, they put out their first three records on Car Park. And so they've parted ways, moved over to Anti, which is a slightly bigger, but still, illustrious indie label. And so they're trying to mix it up. And it's even starting with this song where you would think like, oh, we're bigger and better. Let's make it more complicated. And this first track is weirdly...
It's very sort of classic Beths.
But it's also so simplistic. Like that bit where it's the verse and then the same verse again. And then the chorus is just the same thing twice. And then that post-chorus. And then it just happens again.
And Elizabeth Stokes, who's the female vocalist and kind of writes the lyrics and most of the songs, said that this is the last song that she wrote, where after she had written the other ones and they were kind of deciding which ones were going on the album, she was thinking about as a whole, like, what am I trying to say with this collection of songs? And this is what came to her.
Yeah. And of course, here I am critiquing it for being kind of repetitive, but then the entire song right there, Straight Line Was a Lie, is about feeling like I'm supposed to be making forward progress. And instead, I'm just kind of going over and over again through these same patterns. And so it kind of just... What builds is the musical intensity where the guitars get noisier, the drums get noisier, and the backing vocals get kind of increasingly unhinged. And I think that her voice is so special that the backing vocals from the three men in the band, sometimes I don't get enough credit, but I think they really add so much character here and in a different way. Usually it's just kind of pretty accents, and here it's almost like screaming by the end of the song. It's quite charming and opens the path. And... strangely, this is the title track, but it was not a single. But then in terms of the sequencing, they go from this to essentially the last three tracks of the first side are all the three singles in a row. And so the first of those singles we'll play, which I think was the second they released, called No Joy.
Failing, I am failing. They show
it's funny that you described the first track as classic Beths, but to me, this is so much more propulsive because the, you know, the first song is about being kind of stuck in a rut, and here it's this phenomenal, like, propulsive, forward-moving song about being kind of depressed and, as they say, anhedonic on the daily.
Yeah, Stokes has talked about how a lot of this album was written after she was diagnosed with an autoimmune condition and then was kind of depressed about it and started on SSRIs, and they messed with her kind of emotional health a little bit, and she got to a point where she just didn't feel anything, and that's what this song is about.
Yeah, and yet that it's the most classic, straightforward banger on the record, I would say, and so joyful. So yeah, I love the irony of it, and
her deadpan delivery, I think, really sells it.
Yeah, well, just the no, and yeah. She's just like, I think some singers try to hide their accent, and she somehow has this singing style that is very pretty and melodic and very conversational at the same time, mm-hmm. and it's part of why their music is so inviting. It's really quite something.
And this album, they was the first one that they kind of decided that they weren't going to worry about playing any of these songs live and just, you know, kind of make it a quote-unquote studio album and, you know, create the songs with what they had. And the flute solo that we went out on is actually Ben, the bassist, who also plays flute, and apparently Jonathan plays recorder at some point on this song too. But, you know, they talk about how they started out the Beths with you know, all of these kind of strict rules because they were coming out of jazz school and they wanted the Beths to encompass a particular sort of sound. And so one of the rules was no synthesizers, which apparently is still a rule, but like the songs had to be guitar forward and catchy and upbeat and succinct. And I feel like that is, they've done that successfully so far. And this song goes, this album goes a little bit beyond those rules.
Yeah, I think that this was the second single, which was so traditionally classic Beth. The first one is the next song we'll play, and I think it's a little more meditative and philosophical. It's called Metal. So you turn the water into steam to push up the track. So you burn the furnace in your chest to anticipate that. So you wear the color in your cheek, the proof of the strife. So you need the middle in your blood to keep you alive, keep you alive, keep you alive. And I know I'm a collaboration, bacteria, carbon, and light, a foreign orchestration, a recipe of fortune and time. It's a lot to take in. When I try, I see a short one.
There are a lot of themes on this record about kind of being a human in a body and interacting with nature. There's this song and then a song we didn't play, which I think is the second track, called Mosquitoes. And it's a really, you know, her lyrics are so captivating. Like, she paints such a wonderful picture. And I just love this idea of your body as a collaboration of all these things working together. Except I do take issue with, there's a line about the compass in your eyes, which humans do not have. Birds have it. They can actually see the Earth's gravitational field.
Yeah, but the Beths do really like birds. So yes, maybe they got confused.
Yeah, one of their tours, I remember they had a big, like, sheet behind them with the New Zealand's Bird of the Year contest, and they were telling, you know, who they were voting for.
Was this the same year that John Oliver tanked the voting? But yes, it's all in good fun. And yeah, this song, it's a nice contrast because the drumming, Tristan Deck is just going wild here. It's so dense and fast, even as I would describe the rest of the song as being pretty mid-tempo with this really kind of sparkling guitar tone. Mm-hmm. And so the contrast there, where you just have this incredibly propulsive percussion and then this, like, so you feel the body and then you're kind of looking up and being philosophical about it at the same time. And it's really quite charming.
Yeah, the guitar almost sounds like a harpsichord. It's such an interesting tone.
Yeah, well, as you said, they were having fun with the studio and like, hey, how can we do different kind of effects here? It may not be synths, but we're going to push it far. And it's a very different sound. And I thought it was to have this as the first single, it's just like, oh, they are definitely still growing and changing and thinking big thoughts.
You describe this as more of a mid-tempo song, but then the drums are so, it's interesting. Like the drums are so furious, but it is a mid-tempo song.
Yeah, it's a fun combo. And yeah, they are, they've got that jazz conservatory training and yeah, they're just shockingly good musicians. And a lot of the songs, I feel like they're being a little less coy with this record. I think some of the records they kind of were hiding, like we're secretly amazing musicians and we're just going to play this kind of poppy music. And I think they're a little more willing to be like, yeah, we can show off a little bit. It's okay. Our fans can handle it. It's pretty sweet.
But that aside, the next song that we'll play is very stripped down and has very little instrumentation in it. This was
the last single.
Yeah, it's called Mother Pray For Me.
Mother, don't cry for me. I have done enough injury. To hurt you for the hurt you made in me, and I know that I'm why you cried. Mother, pray for me. Called off the search for evidence of an after. Decided I'm fine without. Forever is this right now, but one day if you arrive, just send me a small sign. I don't need the proof of place, just tell me you got this safe.
So I don't know if it's me getting over my COVID shot, but this song is just a gut punch. Like it is so sad and so stripped down. And the organ, which is Jonathan Pierce, apparently can just lay down. I mean, it's not very complicated. It's just this atmospheric,
yeah,
but
it creates
such a feeling of being in a church and she's just crying out to her mom, but it does feel like something more primal. Like she's just crying at the universe of like, why can't this make sense?
Yeah, I don't think that at all. I mean, she has talked about how it's like coming to terms with the relationship that she has with her mother and like accepting it for what it is rather than like what maybe her mother wishes it could be. She has talked about that her mom is from Indonesia and her English is not that great. And Stokes doesn't really speak Bahasa, so they kind of can't even really communicate with words. And obviously, like, she writes these amazing lyrics and words are really important to her. And so, I think it's a really lovely song. It's a little bit too long, but she had recorded it with just vocals and guitar and then felt like it needed a little bit something more. And I think the organ gives it that just body that's, just a little bit more fullness. That's nice.
Yeah. And it is such a kind of wide open and contemplative and sad. And if you're on the LP, this is where you have to flip sides. So you've really got some time to think about this one before you dive into the second half of the record where, I think none of the singles are there and it's a very different stylistically, but still some emotional gut punches to be had. And I think that's true on this next track, starting off side two. It's called Till My Heart Stops.
High in a tower, looking down at the hole.
Stay where I am, stay where it's safe, here with us.
ride my bike in the rain.
Such an unusual song because it starts out so sparse and just kind of gains momentum. And where we left off there, they had a friend come in and do bongo or conga drums. And they were saying that this is the first time they've had anybody else play on any of their albums. And, you know, Elizabeth Stokes has said in interviews that, you know, their songs are usually so dense. And on this album, they allowed some of these songs just more time to breathe and have like silence or quiet parts. And I think this song does a lovely job of that.
Yeah, this song kind of wrecks me. I mean, it did before I was recovering from a COVID shot, but right now I am just, there is something, the earnestness and the longing of it is so off the charts and in a way that I don't know why this. What is the alchemy that this band is able to tap into? Because it's just they get me. It's a gut punch. There's at least one on every record, and it is every cynical bone in my body goes away, and it's just like I am. Yeah, I wanted to feel those things too. It's well, yeah, just talking about it. Yeah, it's so intense and emotional in a way that is so disarming.
Anyway, but then we go from this song to a song that kind of comes back to the classic Beth song sound in a way, and it's called Roundabout.
Hands off the wheel, you were laughing in a way that made me feel like a demon flying straight out of hell. Now your eyes on the road with a cautious confident control.
A sweet ode to friendship, the times you go through, and even the times, like, I guess going through some terrifying traffic, but you still love the person.
Yeah, this is such an earnest, beautiful song, and she has said in interviews that this is just about, you know, she's 34, and so she's kind of at the age where she has had friends for a long time who have gone, you know, become very different people, and that, you know, it's still you, and It's just really touching.
Yeah, that I love you then, I love you now. And yeah, that it kind of has this great texture of, I'm honestly not sure what's going on, where you described it as almost sounding like a harpsichord. There's a credited guitar box or a cigar box guitar on this, which might be that. Then there's an entire chorus later that's just got beautiful viola and violin string section that sounds gorgeous. And then it all comes down to this bridge that's the most sweet sentiment that is just never change unless you do, unless you want to, unless you want to. And yeah, that is, yeah, it's another gut punch, this album. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't record a podcast when I'm recovering from a COVID shot, but holy crap.
Yeah, and I think the backing vocals are particularly good on this song.
Yeah, it's quite something. But coming out of this into the penultimate track on the record goes into some much darker sonic territory. One of a couple of songs that gets pretty brutal in its own way, but also pretty cool. It's called Ark of the Covenant.
Fact that this is such a minor key and kind of serious sounding song, and Stokes has said that this is like an Indiana Jones reference, because in the course of making this album she felt like it was kind of like an archaeological dig, and she was like kind of digging through all of these feelings and things from her past, and she felt kind of apprehensive that she'd dig up something that would be really scary, like the Ark of the Covenant, and melt everyone's faces off. So I thought that was really charming. And I have to say, like, this is another song that is very different from their core sound or the sound they started out with. And I don't think this is my favorite album of theirs, but I am so happy to see them exploring new territory, because I want them to continue to enjoy making music as a band. And I think, especially in your 30s, you've been in this band since 2018, you know, you're going to want to grow and do some different things. And so I'm happy to see that.
Yeah. I mean, this album, absolutely phenomenal. And yet their track record, yep. I mean, this might be better than the second record, which I felt like was the quintessential, like, we're still, what do we do next? Mm-hmm. And here, at least, they're like, okay, let's move forward, try different things. Not everything is 100% successful. You know, we skipped another song that was also kind of dark and propulsive, but maybe slightly more straightforward musically. Mm-hmm. This one's got so much going on. It's, you know, really dense structurally. It's got great drum solos later on. These are these drum fills that are out of control. And, you know, the imagery is so great, as with the Ark of the Covenant. And I found it just very amusing that something in my brain, especially the opening, her vocal style and the propulsive, almost I got this kind of new metal flashback. Mm-hmm. And yet then when the guitar starts kicking in, and it almost is like, I don't know what effects that make it almost sound like a banjo. There's
yeah,
not
it's
a credit.
Very bluegrassy sounding.
There's, so it's like that sort of, yeah, that this sort of like very operatic kind of, you know, over the top song, and then it's got this kind of guitar sound, and yet it completely works.
And a lot of just interesting sound effects and things that are dropped in that just give the song a richness.
Yeah, all these weird kind of skittering stuff. Again, as you were talking about it being more of a studio record where they're willing to like, oh, let's do some process sounds here. And structurally, I love that it's like this really short verse, and then I clocked three different pre-choruses. It's mm-hmm. like, well, this is definitely not a verse, but it's not the chorus yet. And it's so there's just like a lot of interesting musical ideas being jammed into this song that's just over 4 minutes. And we didn't even, I mean, the bridge alone, like the bridge, I think it's like almost, it's only like half a minute at the end, but it just then brings in like a little bit of hopefulness, but it's only after we go through like a lot of darkness and a lot of really noisy craziness to get there. It's really pretty intense. I enjoyed that that they're throwing this darker stuff in, even if it's, is it as good as the brighter songs and the more emotional songs? Maybe not, but I love that they have this in their mix, and I cannot wait to see these songs live.
Which we will get to see November 8th, and they're also playing the 9th at the Fillmore. Unfortunately, both of those shows are sold out, but you can get tickets on the secondary market for like $87, which is worth it in my opinion.
They are just one of the most outstanding live acts out there. I think I had a nasty flu the last time they were in town and I had to miss that show.
Oh, that's right. Johnny and I went by ourselves.
I'm still kicking myself that I had to miss that. Well, I think that was where they had the bird stuff. And
That's why you didn't remember. So the first time we saw them was at South by Southwest. And, you know, we're trying to jam in as many sets from as many artists as we possibly can. And this was a band that then we went and saw a second and like maybe a third time because they were so good.
Yeah, they are really quite something. And yeah, that I love that they're so kind of unassuming and just kind of joking around. You get even that in their interviews and the videos. They're just very charming and only scrape the surface and like, oh, these are amazing musicians.
Yeah. And even a record that's not my favorite, Beth's record, is still a great record.
Absolutely. Happy to talk about it. Happy to have an excuse to listen to it a bunch of times. And I love that they don't even stop with the tricks up their sleeve, that from this dark, propulsive, and I said almost new metal sounding song, we go straight to crazy 80s vibes with the final track.
And so that song is called Best Laid Plans, and we'll go out with that. Again, we've been listening to The Beths and discussing their fourth album, Straight Line Was a Lie, and you've been listening to For the Record. Thanks so much for listening.
Spin me around with a silk scarf over my brow. See me on my way. I've chewed up and spit out lost task on a Friday. I could hold it in compression, bolstering my frame till I break.
This podcast is a proud member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.